Welcome back to Clarity Quote to Cash Podcast. I'm Sergey Yermakov, your host today. And my guest today, John Hild, Global Vice President and member of Core CRM Management Team at SAP Customer Experience. John has more than 20 years of CRM experience, and I thought that it would be great to invite John to discuss how customer expectations and buying behavior has changed in recent years, and how these expectations are adding new requirements for businesses and affecting technology landscape, especially related to the customer relationship management systems. John, great to have you on the show. I will let you introduce yourself before we start.
Great, thanks again, and thanks for having me on this call. Really was having a chat with you by the virtual fire, I can understand it. So yeah, as you said, I've been in this industry now for going on for 30 years now. Yeah, I know, look old enough. But really looking at how things have changed over the last 3 years and how things have really accelerated over the last 20. And my role at SAP is really about how do I engage and how do I help customers understand where we're taking our solution? But also, just importantly, it's engaging with customers to understand where they need us to take our solution to help them differentiate in the offerings that they're able to offer to their customers and how can we can help them be more successful too. So really looking to have a chat with you and share some of the experiences that I've seen, but also listening to you as well and some of the things that you've seen in your experience engaging with customers too.
Yes, perfect, John. So, I want to start with the very simple thing, as I mentioned already in an intro. So a lot of customers has changed their expectations and requirements towards the businesses. And when I look at what has happened in the past couple of years, we clearly see that the everything is becoming more e-commerce focused. And so I think that like primary differentiator for businesses right now is getting these digital experiences for the customers. But at the same time, it is like it goes to the response speed and also with an expectations having OPEX versus CAPEX. And so how do you see these changes are happening in the B2B space? And what is the role of the salesperson and how it is changing right now with all like recent things that happened and affected the marketplace?
So where do we start with that conversation? I mean, what I've seen is immediacy of answers is what we're expecting now because there's no longer need to be out of the office. Yeah, you're no longer, so people are expecting you to be there at their beck and call all the time and expecting you to engage in immediacy, whether and it's whatever channel they're using to engage. And we're seeing people, like we're doing now, a lot more, a greater move into virtual engagements. I'm a big advocate that people buy from people, especially in the B2B organization. But again, and you can't make a relationship virtually. You can foster one and you can enhance it, but you can't make it. So again, but you need to use these channels and these video levels of engagement in order to make sure people see the whites of your eyes and that feel that genuine conversation. And what you're seeing in organizations now is everybody using Teams or Zoom as their default way of engaging from that perspective. And you see a real level of genuosity if people are turning the cameras on or leaving the cameras off. And people are really getting an insight into people and how to engage with people. So again, my example behind me, I've got a map of the world and I've got a James Bond poster. And you're seeing this exposure into people's reality of what's going on. And from a channel perspective, people have got much more used to using e-commerce for transactional information, but people are still not using e-commerce. And I honestly believe they never will use e-commerce for those £150 million B2B investments that they're making. So there's a place for e-commerce to help, but it's not the place where everything happens from that perspective. But also in the B2B environment, people are using more and more of this type of technology to engage with their customers and continue to foster those relationships that they have. But there is still a need for people to meet face-to-face and have that water cooler conversation, to have that conversation at the bar, at the coffee shop, whatever it needs to be. And it's now about how do I use face-to-face and how do I use digital in the appropriate fashion. It's not 100% of one or 100% of the other. It's the blending of that sort of requirement from a engagement perspective, but also from a transactional level too.
Yes, I think that if we look at the simple thing, like on-site events, when people have this ability to see each other and have this conversation, have a coffee together and everything, I think that we see how fast it is coming back. Once we have these all limitations removed, I think that we see a huge amount of the conference that has been planned on-site. So definitely we will have also some statistics and some better understanding on how it goes, what is the attendance and what is the like amount of the virtual participants versus the real ones. But I think that you are right. So this personal touch is extremely important when we're talking about the B2B sales. And if we like take one step back and we like look at how systems like CRM, for example, has supported this changing requirement of having ability to work from home, for example. It's clear, of course, that having the system and have all these collaboration tools has supported, but especially from the large deal perspective that you mentioned, how do you see these systems are supporting salespeople working from home?
So I think the advent, as everybody started moving to the cloud, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I think that's really helped people have access to everything they need when they're at home. So I think that the seeding of what's going on had already happened. I was chatting to my kids the other day and going, imagine what it would have been like if we'd have had lockdown before the internet. How would we have done anything from a work perspective, from a teaching perspective, from that perspective? So I think we were lucky that the emergence of these technologies were already there. So people had the information at their fingertips. But I think one thing that we've really seen in technology that's really been facilitated by the home working is the advent and the evolution of machine learning. So normally you had the sales conversation. So you'd have a sales meeting in the office and you'd chat around things and people would go, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you looked at this? But some of the stuff that has happened with machine learning is automating that conversational process to go and say, actually, this opportunity is probably the hottest ones for a variety of reasons. This opportunity actually needs this piece of data or this presentation or this engagement or this reference in order to have the biggest chance of conversion. So it's actually taking the brains of the best people in the organization and the power of the crowd and feeding this into a technology stack that goes and crunches the numbers and comes out with, here is what the right thing that we should be doing next. Whether this is focusing on this customer, sending a proposal to this customer, making the quote at this price for the customer, whatever it happens to be. And it's taking what used to happen in the sales meeting at the coffee corner or in discussions and just automating some of that process to provide guidance to the sales teams on what the appropriate next step is from that perspective. And we've seen this from both a sales perspective, but also from a service perspective as well, about some of the predictive ability that we've seen organizations using based upon the fact you can't ask the guy who sat next to you in the customer service booth, what should I do about this? You're now becoming more reliant on the system to help you provide that little thing you used to ask the guy next to you, using the system to provide that level of guidance, whether it's from a sales or a service perspective. And we've really seen, I would say, the coming of age of some of these technologies into supporting those people who are, by definition, isolated because they're working from home.
Yes, I think that the super important moment here is that, like, everybody was supposed to tell us that the CRM big time is the system of a record. And basically now what I think we see a clear transition of CRM becoming the real, what is called the single source of truth. Because when you're at home, when you're not able to communicate with the people, it is extremely important that you are, as a salesperson, you are able to pull out, I don't know, the PDF with the contract, look at the pricing, modify some terms in your quote, and submit it to the customer as fast as you can, right? And I think that the speed and agility and everything like comes from the system. And I think that now it is really the time when people start understanding the value of having the CRM in place and having like as one of the core critical components, I think, of the backend landscape in the companies.
Yeah, and I think also some of the information that people are now getting used to. So people are working longer than they used to work before, because they're not traveling to a customer, they're not getting on a plane, they're not doing that sort of stuff. So people have now got access and the ability to look for more information from that perspective. So what we're seeing is the actual sales engagements actually getting a bit deeper. So whether this is, I need understanding of stock availability is a prime example. So again, with all the supply chain issues that everybody's faced recently, whether it's chip shortage, whether it's food shortage, whatever it happens to be, there's been a real problem in the supply chain. And now the expectation from customers is not what price are you going to give me, but it's also what delivery, what dispatch, what installation. That side of it is now becoming a critical point in most conversations, because it's not just about price. It's about solving the problem with the right product, the right solution, whatever it happens to be. And it's also availability has now become a concern, not just for the supply chain team, but actually for part of the sales engagement. So I'm seeing more and more of my salespeople looking at, I need to understand beyond the contract, actually into more of the supply chain and this dispatch side of it, because that's the thing that a customer has been asking for and are happy to pay X percent more for delivery tomorrow rather than getting a cheaper price for delivery I don't know when. And so it's really bringing that urgency of supply into the sales guys conversation, which is something that we haven't seen for probably 10-15 years.
Yes, I think that like response speed and these days are becoming even more important than it was before. And also, you touched the very important point of like people who are working more from home. And I think that what we clearly see right now also at the market that, previous like global shortage of talent is also challenged with the trends that like great resignation and things like that. So, and I think that also the big role of the this type of, you know, engagement systems, CRM systems are goes to the basically not just allowing people to be productive at home, but also really understand the employee engagement and maybe also have some evaluation on where the people are in terms of the burnouts. So how do you see like this backend tools that we have like CRM could help us, like how is tech is helping managers and leaders really understand where their people are in terms of the engagement and all of this trend mentioned? So how do you
I mean, we all know sales roles and customer service roles are known for their high attrition rates anyway. They always have been, and they always will be from that aspect. And you're seeing more and more organizations thinking about, how do I retain the talent that I've got? That takes weeks, months, sometimes even years to train up to the right level of skill. And so after churning people is an expensive thing to do from that perspective. So I'm seeing lots more organizations feeling the pulse of their customers and of their employees to make sure I'm going to be watching trends. So am I seeing my sales guy converting less? Am I seeing my customer service reps getting poorer customer evaluation scores? And lots of organizations are now actually doing as many surveys of their employees as they are of their customers, because they know that that's a key characteristic for them to understand. Spotting trends of what's going on with some of their ratios and KPIs is one way to get there. But actually, I'm seeing more people asking their employees, how do you feel? When you used to work in an office, you used to be able to, you could walk into an office and feel the pulse of the office just by walking in. You just feel the buzz or lack of it in an organization. When everybody's virtual, it's a lot harder to do. And just asking people, are you okay? The standard response, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, and it's just one of those standard responses of actually spotting some trends that you're seeing and bringing that feedback and just asking people in generic surveys, where they will tend to be a lot more open than you will be just chatting to people, is one thing that I'm seeing. But I've actually seen a couple of organizations actually use this to their benefit. So by offering people flexibility from the working from home, you've removed some of the constraints of 2-3 hour commutes. So you've given people time back. You've also seen organizations benefiting from, I don't need people working 9 to 5. I need people working 8 to 11 and then 4 to 8. And so having that as one of the demographics of what you're looking for, organizations have seen that by removing the 9 to 5 mentality of what organizations are doing. But I had a great example, one of my customers in the US, they got 5 call centers distributed across the US in geographical locations. And it just so happened that in Chicago, they've got a great manager, but they'd actually got beneath them 5 great supervisors. And literally, it was dead man's shoe. So until the great manager leaves, I can't promote any of the supervisors. And when I do promote one of the supervisors, the other 4 will be upset. And so I've got 5 great people and I don't want to lose them. This whole working from home and virtual working is fine. They've been able to manage to promote all 5 of the supervisors into managing teams in different call centers. So there was no longer a need of dead man's shoes for when I'm working in the position. I can actually utilize the power of these great people to manage people in the Arizona, or manage people in Florida, or manage people in Georgia. So I could use them better rather than having them all sitting in the same office. So the great resignation and people leaving has been a problem in some market units more than others, but I've actually seen a number of organizations utilize this in order to empower their employees, but also to promote employees to manage things that historically would never have been possible. So as with all these things, it's a two-edged sword from that perspective. There's a few cases of where customers have really benefited from it, but at the moment, a lot more are suffering and are having to do more from a employee engagement perspective just to get that feeling for their employees and try and do things about it from that perspective. We've seen lots of things in the press about organizations giving employees a day off, closing the business for a day, closing the business for a week, and just doing some of that to try and help provide some engagement. And we at SAP have done the same thing. So in SAP, we have got a day off. The organization is sort of closing for a day in order to give everybody a day back to spend time doing what they need to do from that perspective. And most of the people I know are actually doing it to spend time with their SAP friends, to do things together as an organization, because we've all got the day off, just to do some things and continue to build and foster those relationships as well as our health. But it's also about continuing in that relationship that over the last 2 years have had, because of obvious reasons, have diminished a little bit because we haven't had the water cooler coffee shop bar conversations, and just using this time as a way to get back together. And this is something I'm seeing across a number of organizations.
Yeah, I think so. Well, basically, we're also missing like a part of the on-site events with the customers. We're definitely missing this on-site team building events internally. And I think that you are right. So if we give this opportunity for people to have a day off, they would definitely will be meeting and doing something together because they're used to it, of course. And, you know, like, for example, the like for the professional services companies like Clarity, for example, we've been pushing this idea, you know, of remote delivery and building the teams just based on the competence rather than on the geographical location for many years. And now, like for me, I am super excited that customers are supporting this. And finally accepted this. And from the other side, we got this, you know, the brilliant opportunity of hiring the people, like no matter where they are. And I think this is also giving additional like layer of value potentially for our end customers, because we are not tied to the geographical location anymore. So I think that this is like definitely a good trend, and everybody will benefit from that. But you mentioned already some customer examples. Do you see some customers who has like excelled in this environment and who has like introduced some cool innovations in the space?
Yeah, so I'm working with a retailer at the moment, and obviously in the UK, retail was shut down for a period of time. And it's a case of, it's high-end retailer, and it's a case of, well, we still need to make money, we still need to have a business from that perspective. So they set up as part of this, a virtual boutique. So now I can now engage with customers, I can sell, I can do video conferences to show what the product looks like from that perspective in a virtual environment. So I no longer have to get people coming into store to try it on and look at it or whatever. They were able to do this and do this in a virtual fashion. And again, with the emergence of people accepting video, which again, we all know video technology has been around for 20 years, but realistically, it's only been accepted as a communication medium for probably about the last 4-5 years since FaceTime came around, I'd say. But now they've set up this virtual boutique in order to engage with customers, show them the choice of options. So a customer was undecided between 4 or 5 options. Okay, let me show you all 4 or 5 options. What do you want to see? I want to see this product. Okay, that's fine. I'll show you all the bits that you need. And then, okay, yeah, I want to buy that one. Okay, that's fine. I'll ship it to you. You can have it for a week. If you don't like it and you want to swap, we can swap it over for one of the others. So literally setting up this virtual boutique literally overnight to replace the retail stores that they had in the store estate, help them keep their business running and help them extend their market share because they were doing something and differentiating in areas that nobody else had got into. So it helped them keep their business, but it also helped them increase their market share because they had something that was different. And actually, as of today, now retail in the UK has all totally opened up. This is still one of their most productive stores in brackets because this is the way people now want to try and engage from that perspective. So again, it was something that was pushed to from an urgency, but actually it's been very successful for them and they're continuing to grow this as a key part of their business strategy.
Okay, that's very interesting. And I think that like a lot of companies that we see like as success stories like you just mentioned, it all basically goes into their previous investment into the commerce systems because you are not able to have this ability to switch to online sales like in overnight. I think that it is like a really, really good thing to have when you have invested in the technology like that. So if we look at existing like state of the markets and the environment we're in, so we are definitely, I think that expecting the new wave of the global crisis coming up our way. What do you think is like, how do you see this? What the businesses should get ready for? What are the new trends that you see coming and how they should really, what they should type of investment into their existing systems they should consider as the next step?
So if I look at things that I've seen from customers who have been successful from that perspective and things they have done, one of the things from a technology perspective is knowing that their commerce capability is not just a selling site. It's also an engaging site as well. So it's about providing not just a, do you want to buy it, yes or no? It's providing that level of support that somebody might need as they're going through that. I'm looking for information. I'm looking for insight and providing a level of support. So I've seen customer service teams gone from reactive to a more proactive and almost a pre-sell part of the organization. So engaging a lot more in before the acquisition has taken place, as opposed to post-acquisition journeys that customer service have been with them. I've also seen a lot more inside of, I don't want to call it clickstream analysis, but providing the salespeople with insight of what the customer has been doing. So rather than in the B2B selling, rather than turning up to a customer and going and say, do you want to buy one of these or one of these, having the insight of knowing where the customer has been looking and what they've been working on and reviewing as well and providing that level of insight. And from a personal perspective, what I've seen is lots more flexibility coming through for organizations. And the day of going to see a customer for every part of the sales journey have gone. Yeah. This remote working is here to stay for a number of reasons. One, it's cost effective. Two, it's time efficient. But also as more and more organizations are focused on their sustainability measures and their ESGs and all those impacts, it's a really good way in order to engage with customers in a carbon neutral way from that perspective. So these days of using Teams and Zoom and stuff like that as the way to engage with customers will exist, the face-to-face will come back, but it will never go back to the level it was before. So how do I utilize and work with these technologies in the most effective way? Little things like when I'm in a Teams call, having my CRM data instantly accessible for me as part of my Teams engagement. So I've got my, when I'm having my Teams call, I've got my opportunity details on the right side that I can update in real time as I'm having the conversation with the customer. Those are the sorts of things that people are really starting to expect and want to use from that perspective. I think the flexibility that we're seeing is really starting to make a difference as well. So whether it's allowing your sales teams the flexibility to do what they need to. So I've got, I know people within my organization who've been using this time to work in different places, spend some more time with their family in different parts of the world, because it doesn't matter. If you've got an internet connection, I don't know whether you're working in Sweden or whether you're in Singapore or whether you're in Southeast Asia. And I don't know, and I don't care. You have a job to do. And I think that level of flexibility and trust with employees of the organization is one thing that's really going to help keep people on board. And if you can deliver the right technology to support them, they can do this from wherever they need to be. So I think there's going to be, as part of the things that we see in job offers on the website, it will be about flexibility and that capacity to work where you need to, where you want to work, not a case of where you need to work, with certain constraints from that. So, and I'll see that coming through a lot more. But I think from a technology side of this, what we will start seeing is more and more things moving into a commerce-led engagement, but the companies that will differentiate and will succeed and be more successful moving forwards will be the ones who see that as part of the journey, not the sole part of the journey. And how do they engage with that as a key platform, but how do they ensure that this is a fundamental part of the customer journey, not the only part of the customer journey, and how do they bring the rest of their organization into a line around that, are the ones that will see the greatest success in the coming years.
Yes, I agree. The only thing that I can add here is basically another layer of productivity type of tools for the salespeople. Like, for example, we all know that a lot of manual tasks are happening right now. And I think that the machine learning and artificial intelligence also will evolve and take part of responsibilities from the sales guys. And I think that it is another way for companies to really like reduce time spent for like boring things for salespeople, and also and get the most out of the best brains that they have. So I think that this is maybe another thing that that is also worth to consider here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I'm a big fan of AI, as you can probably tell them that. So, but again, this will never replace the human intuition and the human interaction. And I think what we need to do is start looking at how we can take the best salespeople that we have and how can we utilize their intrinsic knowledge of what to do, and how can we replicate that across the average and, let's be honest, the poor sales teams that we have. How can we take that DNA from the great guys and make the good ones great too?
Yes, as you know, as the sales manager, you always look on top 20 performance, and you are trying to invest more time there because it will give you the better outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So yes, new world, new opportunities, I think, and a lot of benefits for the companies who are keep innovating and keep investing in their backend and customer facing type of the systems. Perfect. So, John, I would like to thank you for being with us today. Thanks for like very valuable input. I think that many companies will start considering doing like more innovation. And as always, we are happy to get your likes, feedback, comments. And please remember, we are just one click away. Please visit Clarity Show and reach out to us. We're happy to support and discuss your particular use cases and more details. So thanks for listening, and see you in the next episodes. And don't forget to subscribe. Thank you.